We take up reading again, and although I'd intended to cover a very small section, I'm not sure that I'll even get that done, because this section is so important. Did we not leave off, someone correct me if I'm incorrect, did we leave off with the paragraph that begins, "Now when Emmanuel perceived that through the policy of Mr. Carnal security," that we left off? I thought so. Okay. I did have it marked, but I just wanted to be sure I was right. Prior to this, we were introduced to this fellow in the town of Mansoul, Mr. Carnal Security. It's amazing, it is amazing, is it not, how very quickly we come under the influence of this gentleman after we are converted. We become just secure, comfortable, and then we lose our first love. Bunyan writes of him, "Now, when Emmanuel perceived that through the policy of Mr. Carnal Security, the hearts of the men of Mansoul were chilled and abated in their practical..." We were just having a discussion. I'm sorry, that's what that maniacal laugh. We were just having a discussion about the practical application of profound theology. "When Emmanuel perceived that through the policy of Mr. Carnal Security, the hearts of the men of Mansoul were chilled and abated in their practical love to him. First, he bemoans them and condoles their state with the secretary, saying, 'Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that Mansoul had walked in my ways. I would have fed them with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I have sustained them.' This done, he said in his heart, 'I will return to the court and go to my place till Mansoul shall consider and acknowledge their offense. This done, he said in his heart, I will return to the court and go to my place till Mansoul shall consider and acknowledge their offense. And he did so. And the cause and manner of his going away from them was that Mansoul declined him, as is manifest in these particulars." Now, before we go into these particulars, I want us to look at this, which is a reflection. I realize these are not inspired words. This is not the Word of God. But this is Bunyan. Bunyan is writing, however, on from sound doctrine, biblical doctrine. And I would have you to notice that as soon as the Lord Jesus sees that this man, Carnal Security, has done a terrible thing to the hearts of men and man's soul, his response is what? "I will return to my court, and I will leave them to consider what they have done." Now that response on the part of the Lord is very, very different from what we hear preached from pulpits today. It is common practice to represent the Lord as scurrying about, frustrated, doing everything he can to win back the confidence of his people. And that's not the picture that Bunyan portrays because that's not the picture that the Scripture teaches. It is very common to hear in sermons today, and has been for most of my lifetime, the Lord represented as being defeated, discouraged even, and scampering about in every conceivable effort to recover his people. That has been a common portrayal of how the Lord Jesus responds to our foolishness. But it is not biblical. The picture that Bunyan paints here is the biblical picture of how the Lord responds to our folly. He simply will withdraw himself. They have declined him. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Bunyan says they have declined him. And here are the particulars in which he says they have declined him. I'll read them slowly for you. Number one, they have declined him in that they have left off their former way of visiting him. They came not to his royal palace as before. Now that's easy to fill in the typology there, is it not? They quit devotion. Acts of devotion, prayer, reading, meditation. If you have a particular place or time in the day that you try especially to seek the Lord, they just left off that. They just left it off. They just quit doing it. We've all been guilty, have we not? We've all been guilty sometime or other. Of just simply letting other things get in the way or not. We just simply quit. They left off their former way of visiting him. Number two, they did not regard nor yet take notice that he came or came not to visit him. They just didn't notice. They didn't notice if he came or if he didn't come. Why would that be? Well, they were just distracted. Distracted with other things that kept their mind from thinking about it. Number three, the love feasts that had wont to be between their prince and them, though he made them still, and he called them to them, yet they neglected to come to them or to be delighted with them. So those times of feasting, when there was rejoicing and feasting and communion, they just quit. They just quit them. Number four, they waited not for his counsels, but began to be headstrong and confident. And here's two words you need to put in bold, underline them. In themselves. They began to be headstrong and confident in themselves, concluding that now they were strong and invincible and that man's soul was secure and beyond all reach of the foe and that her state must needs be unalterable forever. It's the old Southern Baptist doctrine we were taught. Once saved, always saved. What a lie that is. It's not a lie, technically, grammatically, the words, but the doctrine that those words represented was a lie. That we're there. We got our ticket. Got my ticket. I'm in. Got my booking for passage. So it really doesn't matter what I'm doing now. because this is unalterable, and I'm beyond the reach of the foe, and so I'm good. And so now I can turn from being focused on all that, and I can focus on my career, or my family, or my, you fill in the blank. I can be focused on other things. So these are the four proofs that man's soul has declined him. Now, as was said, Bunyan goes on, now as was said, Emmanuel, perceiving that by the craft of Mr. Carnal Security, the town of man's soul was taken off from their dependence upon him and upon his father by him, and set upon what by them was bestowed upon it. He first, as I said, bemoaned their state, and then he used means to make them understand that the way that they went on in was dangerous. For he sent my Lord High Secretary to them to forbid them such ways. But twice when he came to them, he found them at dinner in Mr. Carnal Security's parlor. There's a beautiful woodcut of that in our particular version. Yes, it's the next page over. I guess it would be 209 in mine. There's this picture of godly fear at a feast with Carnal Security. And the more you look at that woodcut, the more you see in it. Tremendous, tremendous teaching there. But twice Emmanuel sent the Lord High Secretary to forbid them these things. And when he came, they found him at dinner, Mr. Carnal Security's parlor, and perceiving also that they were not willing to reason about matters concerning their good, he took grief and went his way. The which, when he had told to the Prince Emmanuel, he took offense and was grieved also, and so made provision to return to his father's court. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, there's an important spiritual principle here that I just kind of read right over. If he picked up on it, he said that the town of Mansoul, he perceived that the town of Mansoul was taken off their dependence upon him and set upon what by them was bestowed upon it. They're no longer looking at the giver, but the gifts. They're no longer looking at their pleasure in him, in his presence. They're looking only at these gifts, which are the bestowment of his kindness toward them. He's looking at these things that he's giving them instead of him. That's a very subtle difference there, but it's very critical that we as Christians know it and that we recognize it. It's wonderful. It kind of goes along with the discussion we were having at the dinner table today. It's wonderful. We all, those of us that are true believers, we love to hear doctrine, and we just joy in scaling the heights, as it were, of pinnacles of these great doctrines. But they're just doctrines. It's Him we need. It's Him we want to find. It's His presence we want to experience. We can appreciate and love and admire the great doctrines and revel in them. But they're just words. They're just doctrines. They're just noble ideas unless we have Him. It's Him that we can't lose our focus on. Do we have Him or do we not? Bunyan goes on and says, now the methods of His withdrawing, as I was saying before, were thus. Here's His methods of withdrawing. Number one, even while He was yet with them in man's soul, He kept Himself close and more retired than formerly. He's not as familiar. He's not as freely familiar as He was. Number two, His speech was not now, if He came into their company, so pleasant and familiar as formerly. They're beginning to feel something of the stiffness of the relationship. All of us that are married, you can identify with this, can you not? You've experienced that? We're still talking, we're not fighting, but, boy, it's stiff, difficult, not a real sweet communion here. Well, that's what happened. This is how the Lord's dealing. This is His method of withdrawing. Number three, nor did He, as in times past, send to man's soul from His table those dainty bits which He was wont to do. Do you remember the times when your communion walk with the Lord was such that sometimes you'd just be working, or baking a cake, or driving a machine, or working on your job, and just some little tidbit of light would come through your heart, some little word, a scripture, some old testimony, and suddenly it's a feast. Your heart is warm, tears flow down your face. Well, that's gone. Because of carnal security now, He's withdrawn that. He's stopped that. He's not going to do that anymore. He's not going to send you these little tidbits of warmth. That's over. And then fourthly, nor when they came to visit Him, as now and then they would, they did occasionally still come, would He be so spoken, easily spoken with, oh my Lord. I wrote in my book above that, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord, I know this. Experience. When I would come, decided to come, knew I should come, He was no longer so easily spoken with as they found Him to be in times past. That's hard. That's a hard place to be right there. You do finally decide to speak to Him. You find that He's not speaking quite as easily. Speaking with Him is not as easy as it used to be. Whereas formerly, at the sound of their feet, he would up and run and meet them halfway and take them too and lay them in his bosom. That's what he used to do. He's not doing that anymore because they have offended him. They have put him off. Murder said carnal security, however pleasing to the flesh, grieves the Holy Spirit, destroys spiritual comfort, and causes the Lord to withdraw from the soul. Miserable is this condition. Can I just testify? I don't like to, but may I just testify? Miserable is this condition. And yet it is often little observed or lamented. Such is the hardness of our hearts. Little observed, I'm afraid, and even less lamented. But thus Emmanuel carried it up now. This is how he carried it now. And by this, his carriage, he sought to make them bethink themselves and return to him. But, alas, they did not consider. They did not know his ways. They regarded not. They were not touched with these, nor with the true remembrance of former favors. Wherefore, what does he but in private manner withdraw himself first from his palace, then to the gate of the town, and so away from man's soul he goes, till they should acknowledge their offense and more easily seek his face. Earnestly seek his face. So away from man's soul he goes, till they should acknowledge their offense and more earnestly seek his face. Mr. God's peace also laid down his commission. Oh my goodness. Oh blessed Lord. Here goes, fine friend. Mr. God's peace laid down his commission and would for the present act no longer time and so. Desperate state. The note beginning to read page 204 of my book. The commentators of this volume said this: the giving heed to this spirit of carnal security causes the captains to be grieved, the graces of the soul to be offended. Accordingly, the love of the soul is chill. Its need of Christ is less experienced and less felt. Intercourse with Christ is therefore interrupted. The visits of Emmanuel are less frequent. And in progress of time, Jesus prepares to withdraw himself from the soul. There is now no open manifestation of Christ the Savior, no friendliness. A spirit of estrangement springs up, and at last Emmanuel arises and departs from the habitation of the heart. And this departure is straightway followed by a second woe. Emmanuel takes counsel with the indwelling spirit, and the spirit, striving with man, but quite unheeded, is also grieved and removes his habitation from the dwelling place of the soul. In seasons of international misunderstanding, and upon an open declaration of war, the representatives of the belligerent powers are recalled to their respective courts. And even so it is in the case of the soul's disobedience, in the outbreak of mutiny and breach of faith towards Christ. The Son and the Spirit are alike recalled, and accordingly both forsake the soul. No sooner have they departed than God's peace lays down His commission, and He too is gone. And now is the soul in a state of downfall much to be deplored. From a state of unconcern and callous self-security, the transition is immediate to the abandonment of the soul to frivolity and feasting and sin. The antinomian spirit, says our commentator, of fancied security is here pointed out and condemned. That spirit of evil which whispers to some men thoughts of living as they list and doing as they like, sheltering themselves all the time under the security of the holy covenant of God. This spirit, so carelessly secure and so recklessly unconcerned, is the cause of the grievous downfall to many who flatter themselves that God's covenant of peace and the assurance of salvation will suffice to cover their heads in the day of their self-imposed danger. This is a grievous error, and it has proved fatal to many. To the best and holiest of men, the dearest and best beloved children of God, the elect according to His purpose, is the word of this admonition spoken in Romans 11:20, "Thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear." But fear. Fear. Listen to Hosea 5:15. As for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Sorry, that's Ezekiel 9:21. And then Hosea 5:15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. It's Hosea 5:15, and the first scripture I read was Ezekiel 11:21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their desolate things, detestable things, and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon them their own heads, saith the Lord. I will recompense them. I will pay them back. And I will go my way. Well, that's what's happened in our reading today. Emmanuel has been grieved. He's been offended. He lays out in this, Bunyan lays out for us in this reading, the very specific things that they have done that have brought this offense. And then he lays out the very specific things he is doing in response to it. And it is a, could I use the expression, a recipe for disaster. It is a recipe for disaster. And it all starts, if you want to examine your own heart, let me just say, I would emphasize point number 4 under this. When you come to the place, when you recognize as a Christian, when you see in yourself that he is, in the words of Bunyan, not so easily spoken with. I can guarantee you that's a sure sign you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. When he's not so easily spoken with. And you know that. You know that in your heart. There's no laboratory test for that. You can't go to a doctor and have them draw blood and have a test for it. You know in your heart, you know when you're there. You know when you come to a place and you experience that. You find it's just not that easy anymore to approach it. You're just not that comfortable with it. When you get there, my dear Christian friend, you're in deep trouble. You're already in deep trouble. You better find quickly a place of repentance and lay it out before him. He knows. He already knows. He already knows. You may as well lay it out before him. This is a hard reading today, is it not? At least for my part, I'm ashamed to testify that I know far too much about this. I wish I could read it and find it all strange and intriguing, but I fear that my heart knows far too much about it without Mr. Bunyan's help. Do we have any discussion, comments, or questions about this section? Oh, Lord, brother. Yes, sir. It's going to be a long time down this road. A long time. Yeah, we're nowhere near, as you will see from just looking at, physically looking at your book, we're nowhere near the end of this story. It's going to be a long road.
Set out. And if you seek him, you will be found with him.
Amen.
But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.
Yeah.
Then he says, thou for a long season.
Ooh.
Israel have been without the true God.
Yeah. Yeah, being named Israel without the true God. Prince of God. Well, give us that reference again. Yes, that's a good statement, testimony. Where Israel was, there is what Bunyan fittingly describing here. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Period of desertion. Yes, and the section about where they're just between the end of the war and Emmanuel takes up his residence, and then where they're doing all this feasting and banqueting and visiting him, and he's visiting them. That's really a very short section. That time of wonderful communion, and he refurbishes, reworks all of man's soul, goes in and remodels. New models is the way it's put. New models the town. That's a very short section. That's a very short-lived experience before we hit these troubled waters. And it's all because of what? Carnal security. What is carnal security? It could be anything. It could be any number of things. Any combination of things. But it comes down to this. It comes down to taking for granted Him, because of the blessings he has brought with him. Taking for granted his presence because of the enjoyment of the things he brought with him. Even the people he brought with him. Peace. God's peace. And all the generals and the captains, rather, and all these men. We get Mr. God's peace and all these other folk that came in with him. You just take for granted their presence. And all of a sudden, if you're no longer interested in meeting with him, not with his things, but with him. Not the dainties and the meals, but the provider. And boy, how quickly, how easily we do that. How so very easily our hearts are distracted from him. And that is Mr. Carnal Security. Whatever that thing may be. Any other comments? Or testimonies? Okay, let's pray together.